You know the drill. Meghan's summer mood is brought crashing down by Germany's political developments as Conrad tells of the AfD's latest successes. Meanwhile, Germany needs more immigrants, but why would anyone move here to nurse the country's aging generation of middle-class racists who like voting for Bavarians like the spectacularly named Hubert Aiwanger? One more Citrus Collins, anyone? I think I'd better. Cheers!
Time for the latest episode of Megan's American. I'm Megan, here in Berlin, with the birds that are chirping outside. I hope you can hear them. Ex-Berliner Magazine and Conrad Werner. Hello, Conrad.
Hello.
How's it going?
I'm very excited about all this, that we've got a live show coming up.
Yay, we do! We've got a lot. We're doing, like, actual things. I mean, we do actual things anyway, but, like, we're planning stuff, live shows.
Yeah, so we should plug that, because it's at Selina on Saturday. July 15th, coming Saturday, Selina, the hotel in Mitte in Berlin.
Yeah, come along. It's very pleasant in there. It's very trendy. You're going to feel very trendy.
Yeah, they have a gift shop which is full of ridiculously priced objects.
Yes, but not as Mitte goes, I think, probably relatively fine.
Yeah.
I picked up a table tennis racket today in Mitte.
Did you?
One.
Okay.
And it was, like, painted nicely. €60.
For a table tennis bat?
Yeah, not even, like, one of those professional ones. Ridiculous. Anyway. Mm. Yeah, so Saturday, the 15th of July, 3 p.m.
3 p.m.
Please come along. We would love to see your faces.
And we'll have live music.
And you can see our faces, which you usually don't.
Yeah, we've been keeping them hidden.
Yeah, brilliant.
We don't want to be CGI'd. So anyway.
Deepfaked. I don't think, like, you could make me deepfake to say anything more ridiculous or embarrassing or offensive than I usually say. With that in mind, would you like a little Megacan?
Yes, please. I thought you'd never ask.
Well, we've got a new one.
Oh.
And it's from the Bombay Sapphire people. It's called a Bombay Presse, which I don't really understand. And it's a Citrus Collins.
What the hell is a Citrus Collins?
Well, a Collins is like a Tom Collins. Let me look up what a Tom Collins is. I feel like I should know these things.
Yeah, I've heard of
a Tom
Collins.
I think it's like a gin and lemon.
Well, then that makes sense because this has got lemon in it. A Mediterranean lemon, no less.
Gin lemon. Cocktail recipe.
Okay.
I appear to have Googled the mega can that I'm about to drink. Yeah, gin, lemon juice, sugar, and carbonated water. All right, so let's see. Nice. And the presse is presumably like they've got the juice. Oh, God, this looks like it's going to be good.
Cheers.
Cheers.
Oh, yeah.
Ooh.
It's quite sharp, the beginning, isn't it? The first sip is.
I think it could be less. I think it's very sweet, but I have just been drinking a Diet Coke, so maybe that's it.
Do you know what it tastes a bit like? It tastes a bit like...
It's reminding me of something, and I'm wondering if you're about to say what I'm thinking, because I can't think of what I'm thinking, if you know what I mean.
I'm thinking of the weird German sweet called Nimm zwei. Have you heard of them? They're kind of, you get them, there's only two kinds. There's
only
a lemon and orange.
Yes.
And it tastes a bit like that. You know, like kind of... It kind of presses your tongue down a little bit. It's kind of so... It's like a little bit sharp and sour, and it kind of presses on your tongue a little bit.
It's not as delicious as I was hoping, but it might get better with time.
I'm sure they always do. That's the trick, isn't it? They always get better once you're 3/4 of the way in.
Aye. Okay.
It's another mini can, though, I noticed.
Oh, don't get me.
I
am really trying. So I was coming back from class trip on Friday. Weeping Christ. It's exhausting. It went really well. The kids were great. But we're coming back from Prague and we're stopping obviously at like this little filling station along the thing, and I've never been so like professionally conflicted, because I'm standing there and they have, because it's like a random filling station in nowhere, they have the old Gordon's and tonic mega cans, which are still 330 mils, and they've just got like slabs and slabs of them on some kind of offer, and I'm like, I can't do this in front of the kids. Like, I can't buy two slabs of megas and then explain, oh, it's because they've reduced the size of the can and it's breaking my heart. Like, I cannot do that in front of children. So I don't know if we have to rent a car and I have to try and remember what filling station that was, or if everyone just drives around different petrol stations in like Brandenburg and just see happens to see if they're there.
What do you mean, as in everyone, as in our listeners?
Just anyone.
You're asking...
Just everyone. Ask one person you know to do it. You do it yourself. And then you can bring them to the Selina Hotel at 3 p.m. It's one of the few things that I just think are perfect in life. And they fucked it.
Probably the mega cans were a lot cheaper generally there.
In the Czech Republic, I don't think they have megas in that they have... look like megas, but when you check that all-important percentage, it's not 10%, and therefore not a mega can.
Right. Well, yeah, that makes sense. Cheaper. So they have rules. Yeah, they have rules in the other countries.
Why don't we have... It's wild that Berlin or, like, Germany has... Anyway.
No rules. Yeah, on alcohol content. I don't know. It's one area where the conservative instincts... of the German population have not yet
people just don't
in.
Drink as much, eh? They're much more sensible.
Yeah, they just don't. It's not. There's no moral panic about it. Anyway.
Yeah.
But there is a moral panic about.
Oh, this is exciting. I'm going into this completely blind because.
Well, you're not.
I'd like labbered too much at the beginning.
You're not. You're not going into this blind because.
Oh, no, it'll just be the same fucking bullshit, won't it?
You can already guess what this is going to be because I told you about it. The AfD won its second local election within a week's time. We know that you probably remember the conversation we had on the last show about why do people vote for the AfD and everything.
Yeah.
Well, we haven't solved that riddle yet. But in the meantime, Ragun Jesnitz in Saxony-Anhalt has got a new mayor. He is called Hannes Lort of the AfD.
Mm.
He beat independent candidate Niels Naumann. Okay. It's a very small little town. It's like a few thousand people, no more than 5,000 people.
Okay. Just as well.
but it made national headlines because it was another runoff vote. A lot of international attention. In fact, I've been asked to be on two TV things around the world.
Yes.
Well, it's not kind of. because I wrote this article about it, and so what happens when you write an article?
Yeah, because your article is like hot off the press.
Yeah, because I'd already written most of it, and so I put it out. As soon as
you write an obituary for someone years before they've died, just like, oh, these fuckers. Yeah. What are we gonna say if they win?
So I put this article out on the Sunday evening after the election in Ragun Jesnitz, and I was asked to go on something called TRT. Which I'm not sure. It's based in London.
Okay.
But I couldn't do it. It was today. I was too busy. But then I was also asked to go on Serbian TV.
Absolutely, please do that.
Yeah, I did.
Good.
I did it already.
You've done it already? Yeah, what was that like?
Well, I wasn't live. I was just recording an interview for a TV report, which is going to come out tomorrow, I think, or the day after. Yeah, so the point is that there's a lot of international attention because on the back of these two local election results and also on the back of the fact that the AfD is now up to 20% nationally.
Class!
You'll recall that the last election, 2021, the AfD only got 10%, so it's doubled its vote share since Scholz came to power. People are really worried about it. They're obviously asking each other why this is all happening. And would you like to hear some theories?
Yes.
So I spoke to the Sinus Institute for Social Research, which brought out a survey that concluded that the AfD is winning a new sector of voters amongst Germany's middle classes. And they've subdivided the middle classes into various...
I really want to... people who are assholes. People who are not assholes.
I mean, it gets a bit technical, but the point is that they've come up with this idea that there are the what known as the conservative and nostalgic middle classes, who you would expect to vote for conservative and or right-wing parties because they kind of think that it was better in the old days, those kind of people. But there's also this group called the adaptive, pragmatic middle classes, kind of floating voters, you would call them. They're people who just vote with whatever's in the news at the time, whatever annoys them, things that, you know...
This is... They fucking read it in the Bild and they're like, oh, that seems reasonable. I'm going to vote for fascists. Like you said the other day.
Yeah.
Oh, I don't really like the idea of wind farms. Don't like these windmills.
Yeah.
Rather... Ugh. Right.
So I spoke to Silke Borgstedt, the director of the Sinus Institute, who did this survey. And she was saying that there's this kind of group of these floating voters who don't really support any particular party, who are just in the last few weeks or months have started saying, oh, yeah, why not the AfD? you know, and that's kind of like how the AfD is currently broadening its base. But she also thinks that that means, she said, as a if you want a little bit of positive news, is that means that they are voters that other parties could win back. They just follow whatever's going
they're
on.
Because you're not going to win back the hardline neo-Nazi nut jobs, really. Or that's a much longer process over generations, which we're still failing to do.
Yeah.
That's interesting. And that would kind of... I'm perturbed on a deep kind of level about all of this. And also then just like fascinated. And I think I spoke about last time about the sort of media response to this and the media's role in this. And if you are like a pragmatic whatever, when you're saying they're asking, well, why not the AfD when I'm so dissatisfied with this, this and this? There must have been, there's some level of normalization happening that the AfD are something that people could vote for that are not just super, not out of like values, but out of pragmatism. Like that's mad.
Yeah.
And I think it is because everyone is saying, well, everyone is so dissatisfied with the Bundesregierung without actually going, and so these are protest votes without actually going, yeah, but that's demented. You can't protest vote for people who would never be able to govern ever because they don't have a single policy other than we don't like windmills and immigrants.
Brown people, yeah. It is very worrying, but I also think that it's not as if the other parties can't get those voters. Yeah, and the, yeah, and the media has been like, there's been this kind of right-wing backlash against the way that the government has run its heating.
I can't even talk about this fucking heating bill anymore because I am so angry. We're all sitting here.
Why? What are you angry about?
It's fucking nothing. It's like the tinsiest little things that a green politician who we have voted in, the Green Party, that this fucking coalition fucking agreed to, and now everyone wants to go, oh, let's just have a culture war about fucking a tiny amount of apartments that are going to be built or whatever. Like, it's so, it's not even close to what we need to be doing in terms of legislation. And we're going to, instead of actually going, right, let's do something about the climate, we're going to instead try and do a tiny bit about the climate, let everybody blow it up in our face, make it a culture war, and, you know, bring the fucking fascists back into power in Germany.
Yeah.
Sorry.
I really agree
I'm
with you.
I'm so sorry.
I mean, it's really bizarre because...
You're also trying to tell me things, and I'm just like, gah! So...
I'm looking at some polling figures at the moment, and what is interesting is that nearly 20% of people also put like climate change and energy policy is in the top three of concerns in Germany. Mm. The other one is inflation, and the other one is a bit vaguely the actions of government and politicians. Okay, but anyway,
yeah,
climate change is there. I think people in Germany are aware that climate change is happening and it's a big deal and we need to do something about it. But as soon as something like the heating bill happens, they go, oh, no, we didn't mean actually anything that will actually affect our lives. And even though it probably won't even affect their lives...
But it won't affect their lives. This is my point.
Well, it won't, but I want to introduce you to a new character.
Oh!
In this, who is going to be increasingly important in the next few months in the soap opera of German politics. Have you heard of Hubert Aiwanger?
No, but that's a class name. coming in hot, Hubert. Hubert was?
Hubert Aiwanger.
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 Yeah. He is the leader of the Freie Wähler, the Free Voters.
No, not those fuckers.
What do you know about the Freie Wähler?
They're like people in Bavaria vote for them that would otherwise vote for the AfD if they were in East Germany, from what I understand and generalise.
That's
correct?
Pretty much it, yeah.
Yes.
So they're like the kind of like sanitised version of the AfD.
We're just asking questions. We're just free thinkers and voters. No, you're fucking right wing. That's what every single person who says they're a free thinker is actually just right wing radical.
So the Freie Wähler are in power in Bavaria. They're in the junior coalition partner to our friend Markus Söder, CSU. Hubert Aiwanger, as well as being the leader of the... I'm just going to keep saying that name. As well as being the leader of the Freie Wähler, is the Bavarian economy minister. And he did a big speech in Erding, which is a town near Munich, a few weeks ago at a protest against the heating law, where he was very much talking in a way that an AfD politician would talk. Like, he was saying things like, and this made national news, he said, "We have to take back our democracy."
Yeah, I think I saw something like this. He said something like, "It's time for something, something citizens to,"
Yeah, he was like, "We, you know, the citizens should take back their democracy." And a lot of people compared this partly to Boris Johnson and the Brexit thing, but also to the AfD's former leader, whose name escapes me, the old fella, who said something like, we will like drive out the Merkel's party. This is a few years ago. Okay. Anyway, so people are saying, like, this is the kind of rhetoric that the AfD uses. This, you know, we need to take back our democracy. It's like calling into question whether Bavaria was a democracy or not. And this is for someone who's in government, who was elected. It seems like a very odd thing to say, because he actually does have power. It's not like he's like leading a revolution. I mean, this guy's in power.
But this is all these fucking populists. They want to have this really conservative platform that is obsessed with the status quo. But let me frame this for you like I am some kind of revolution against the people who really have power.
And so he's been like making, and he's like a very, he's a farmer, and he connects very much with the Bavarian farming community. There's like that he does really well amongst those people, and people really like him. And he says things, you know, he just talks in a very populist way. Like, he says, "Ihr habt ja den Arsch offen" and stuff. You know, like how German people talk.
You've got your ass open.
Yeah.
What does that mean? Like,
that's what he said about the people in Berlin. Not us. He meant the government. not Berlin.
But what does that, what, I've got my ass open for what, like I'm being...
It means you've got, you're talking out of your ass, or you're bonkers or something. You have ein Knall. Maybe you know that one. You have ein Knall.
No.
Well, anyway, he kind of used these kind of very like down to earth, whatever populist terms, and he's doing very well at the moment. Hubert Aiwanger, we will hear more from him in the coming months. Because
I would just like to prefer. I prefer not to. Just to well, Bartleby this situation.
Well, Bavaria is having an election in October, so.
Oh, that's not going to be good.
Hmm.
I don't want to hear any of that. Right.
So,
I can't remember.
But the thing is, this is talking about populism. He claims, and he says, "Oh, people always say I'm too right wing," but he likes to say, "But if it wasn't for me, more people would vote for the AfD." And he points out the fact that in Bavaria, the AfD only has 10%, which is half of the national average.
Yeah, you've got another fucking bunch of populist wank bags to vote for Hubert.
I mean, he does split the AfD's vote. That's the point.
Yeah, that's fine. It's just because you're also the AfD. Call it what you want. I hate this. I hate it. I hate it so much. This absolute lack of any form of integrity or anything. Power hungry little... Either you're a fucking racist twat who just really wants women back in the kitchen and minorities back into complete subjugation, or you're willing to espouse those kind of views to get yourself into power.
I mean, both of them are morally bankrupt.
Exactly. Say what you want about, and you can have critiques of what the Greens are doing at the moment. But all Habeck is doing is, as a Green politician, trying to maybe stop the fucking wheels coming off the whole thing entirely.
It's extremely depressing. I mean, the thing is, it wasn't this government that made these climate targets. You know, the climate targets have been around for years, and the Supreme Court of Germany just said in 2021 that the government was not doing enough to meet its own climate targets. I mean, this is just like you set out the goals and then you try and reach the goals. And okay, there have been some procedural errors apparently with this heating bill and all this other stuff, but so Aiwanger is really pissed off because he says that this law would ban people from burning wood in their fires. And that saying things like that goes down very well in rural areas in Bavaria where they like
will
to
it?
Burn well because they like burning wood.
No, that's fine. Will it ban them from burning wood?
Well, if you build a new building, yeah. But the thing is, like, in old buildings, this law doesn't even touch old buildings, you know? All it says is this: if from next year, when you build a new building or you modernize a new building, you can't use any fossil fuel burning systems, which is not even what the law is going to be now. I take it, we'll have to get an expert in on that soon, because I don't know all the ins and outs. But
get
the point is,
and he seems like a man that needs a mega. I'll buy it.
Yeah,
we're buying, Robbie.
Should we get in?
Rob,
well, I nearly met him the other day.
Did nearly meet him the other day.
I went to hospital on my day out.
Hey, you've had a few days out.
Well, I didn't. I went to a press thing with Robert Habeck and Hubertus Heil.
I'm sorry. You're now just making these up. Who has named their child Hubertus Heil?
Well, the parents of our current Labour Minister, Federal Labour Minister. He's SPD.
Right.
And he's been in that job for a while. He was under Merkel as well. He was also the Labour Minister. He seems to like it there, and people seem to don't mind him being in that job. So he's just always hanging around. Hubertus Heil.
Well.
There's another Hubert. You mean we had a Hubert Aiwanger, and we've got a Hubertus Heil. A lot of H's today.
A lot of H's
and new
Habeck,
characters.
A lot of the alliteration of the H, which I always think is very effective alliteration because it kind of forces you to breathe strangely.
Well, anyway.
Labored breathing, if you will.
Hubertus Heil and Robert Habeck went to the Charité Hospital last week.
And you went along.
I went along with about 30 other journalists, and they were talking to nurses. Mm-hmm. Specifically nurses who have come here from outside the EU to work in Germany. So in this case, there were, I think, two Mexicans and a Brazilian. And Germany, as you know, is desperate for nurses and all kinds of workers, really. But especially nurses and care workers and doctors and
just anyone. Fucking anyone at all.
So
apart from startup people.
Yeah. And
we're full.
So Germany passed a law recently. The new government passed a law which was supposed to lower bureaucracy, make it easier for people to come over. There's a thing called a Chancenkarte now, which we talked about.
Yeah.
So they did a little tour of the hospital with these nurses, and then they did like a conversation in front of other people. And then they said, oh, this is really good. And the hospital director was there, and he said this law should have been brought in 20 years ago. It would have been much better for Germany. And obviously, the thing is, Germany is in competition with every other OECD rich country in the world to get people like this coming in. Because all these Western countries, especially the English-speaking ones like Canada, America, Australia, which all have like a history of immigration anyway, and because everyone speaks English around the world, so they have a big advantage over the other countries because people move where they can speak the language.
Yeah.
So Germany's like struggling to keep up. And all these countries have an aging demographics, right? Populations. Yeah. All the baby boomers are going into retirement in the next 5-10 years. And then who's going to look after them when they have to go to hospital? So.
What a thankless task.
So,
looking after boomers in hospital. My God, I hope they were offering these nurses €1 million a year.
Well,
all the fucking God in heaven entitlement nonsense.
Yeah. So one of the things that people are talking about is whether or not this rise, we're going to link up the two stories that we've had so far. Whether or not
we think rampant the rise of fascism might stop people from Brazil coming here and they might want to go somewhere else instead?
Well, I have an article about this.
Can you just imagine all the earnest Germans like Henry and be like, oh, do you think that's like, I mean, you're unpopular at the best of times, Germany. And I say that as someone who like has a lot of affection for Germany. You're not even great at like beach etiquette on holiday, and then you keep going a bit fascist and then being like, but why does no one want to come to work here?
Well, apparently, as I found out myself, when the AfD does better in the polls, international media is interested. And it is noticeable. For example, I looked on the Times of India website. It's an English language publication in India. There's quite a big page dedicated to the AfD. I mean, they do follow that up. They do print stories when there's something happening in Germany with the AfD getting big. And India is an important country for Germany because there are people in India who would be interested in coming to Germany. So I spoke to...
Did you?
An Indian IT worker who lives in Brandenburg. And I asked him this. I asked him, like, you know, what do you think? Is this does this put you off? You know, especially because you live in Brandenburg, which is one of the states where the AfD is in the lead in the polls. And he said, yeah, it does, like, it does in an abstract way, but on a day-to-day basis, it doesn't bother him.
Mm.
And he says he works in this IT company where he never has to speak any German at work. Everyone speaks English. So it's just obviously good because he came here 5 years ago. And now he speaks German, but at the beginning he didn't really speak any German.
Mm-hmm.
And he says, like, in an abstract way, it does bother him because he likes to think that Germany is like an inclusive country and with liberal values, and it protects these liberal values, and it values equality and diversity. He likes to think that, so it does bother him in that level. But on a day-to-day level, he doesn't experience a lot of racism or anything like that. But, and do you know what? The quite moving thing he told me, he said, because I asked him, like, why did you choose Germany? You could have gone anywhere. You know, like, these people, they have a lot of choice. If you're well qualified, you can kind of work anywhere you like.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And he was thinking about going to Portugal. And he said the two reasons why him and his wife chose Germany 5 years ago. One was COVID. The way that Germany managed COVID was very impressive. Especially, he said,
to be fair, that was not our darkest hour. I mean, it was for many people, but in terms of how it was, I can see that.
He said, like, both economically and the healthcare, the way they helped the economy and also the healthcare. And the second reason was because of what he'd read about the German remembrance culture.
Mm.
I thought it was quite an interesting thing for him to say, because he said that, you know, people, I come from a country that is, used to be a British colony, and he said people my age, he's 33, he said people my age in Britain, they still get taught that the British Empire was a good thing.
Yeah.
And he said, but in Germany, he'd read and he'd heard about that in that when school children are taught about the past, they're taught, you know, like, they're taught to confront the history of the country. And he kind of said that that was one of the reasons why him and his wife, who's also Indian, chose to live in Germany, which I thought was quite moving, actually, when he said that, because I didn't really,
and I mean, I obviously like to shit on Germany a lot, and its failure to sort of deal with or to stop whatever this tendency towards the right is. And I know it's not just Germany, but to have Germany's history and still do it is mad. But there is a lot in, like, ways in which Germany does confront its own past that other countries don't, like, exactly. And that is, I guess, kind of cool. And maybe gives us some hope. Like, maybe I am obviously kind of incensed about a lot of the coverage of how, like, the rise of the AfD is being covered, but at least it is being covered, even in these tiny, minor elections. It is causing this big furore and...
Yeah.
Maybe that's okay.
Well, I mean, compared to other European countries, compared to France, for example, it's not looking good in France. I don't know if you've been following the news recently.
Yeah.
I mean, they have possibly even bigger social problems with the far right and with the popularity of the far right than Germany does.
So when we set the bar quite low, Germany's doing quite well. And I think that's, you know, it is striking that you come to the center of Berlin and you have what I think is, like, the phenomenal, very important memorial to the murdered Jews of Europe, which is, like, such an affecting, it doesn't matter how many times I go there, I'm still, like, I find it devastating. And it's right in the middle, like, here is our capital city, here is the center of it, like, the tourists and everything. And here is a monument to, like, our greatest failure. I don't know. I don't know what to think. I wonder what it's like for people who are not, like, I can understand, maybe from an Indian perspective, the comparison with Britain would be, like, the obvious one to make. But I wonder if you come from somewhere that's not... I'm a bit drunk. And
how's you? Maybe it's a good thing that we only had 250 milliliters.
I've still got loads to go. It's absolutely delicious.
Now it's delicious. It's always delicious after you've been through most of it.
I think it would be really nice, this one, with like, I don't usually advocate pouring them out of the can because the whole point is convenience. But like with loads of ice and like a sprig of mint or something, or rosemary. There's something to take that sweet
thing. A bit of rosemary. Thyme. It's all right with the gin, isn't it? It goes well with gin.
Yeah, get it all in there. Please, can we just do a podcast about cocktails?
Well, we did one once.
We did. Which was so much fun that is what I want to do.
Okay.
Is that all the news? Is that all you're giving me?
That's basically the news, yeah. I can give you some more study results, survey results about what... Because there are a lot of surveys about what attracts people to Germany and what doesn't.
Ah, okay. Yes, let's go.
Okay. So, this is an issue that interests a lot of businesses. You know, because businesses really need workers and to exploit.
Yes.
Some would say.
Yeah.
And so there's a lot of funding that goes into studies on what attracts people to go to different countries. Mm-hmm. And there's all these OECD... things. So apparently one of the things what attracts people to Germany, about 2 out of every 5 people, 38%, said the question was, what are the obstacles to you moving to Germany? What would stand in your way?
Can I guess what number one is?
Yeah, go on.
Language.
Yes.
Yeah.
And further down was concerns about discrimination and racism. About 18% said that. But I think that that is kind of common to almost all countries with immigration problems, because I think that there's no society in the world that is like free of racism. So I think people kind of expect.
I think Germany, though, to be fair, is not as far down that road as it thinks it is.
Right.
Like, even how the insensitive way in which it's discussed, I think the fact that you can't be a teacher and wear a hijab is fucking mental. If you're coming from the UK, even, you're like, what? But yes.
Yeah. So I do.
Yeah, it's not to say that it doesn't exist in other things.
And the thing that Germany is really good at compared to other countries like America and Britain and New Zealand and Australia is education, specifically higher education, and the fact that it's free here.
Yeah.
And that means we get a lot of students coming here to study. But a lot of them leave, and that is one of the main challenges that Germany has, is trying to get those students to stay to find a job when they get here, and then that would be really good for the country on many levels. That's it, really.
All right.
That's all I
got. Higher education is free. That is good.
Yeah.
Long may it last. I've
very much enjoyed this. I hope you have.
Enjoyed is a word. I enjoyed my mega can, obviously. I'm very glad it was only 250 mils because I have not eaten very much today. Because it's very hot. Very, very hot in Berlin.
Yeah,
Of fucking climate change, which is why we need to stop burning fossil fuels.
Yeah. Did you see that last week the world broke its temperature record?
Someone told me this. Yeah, it was like just the hottest day ever.
Yeah, but 3 times in a row. So it was the hottest day, and then the next day broke that record, and then the next day broke that record.
Right.
That was like the highest
aid
day.
Maybe
they have. Yeah.
We should just let a man do his heating law, very mild heating law.
Yeah.
And not freak the fuck out and go fascist.
Yeah.
On that note. Thanks for listening.
Thanks. Yeah. Thanks very much for listening, and very much looking forward to seeing you on Saturday if you come. Follow us on Patreon as well. It'd be nice to get a few more patrons.
Yeah, it makes me feel like an Elizabethan playwright. Okay. All right. Bye, everybody. Take care.
Bye.